Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with pastor and author Rob Winters. Now, Rob wrote a great book a few years back titled Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis. He wrote it in obedience to the Lord, and it was pertinent for the day and time in which it was published. But recently, he was moved to revise it, update it, and republish it. And wouldn't you know, right now, it is needful in the day and time in which we live today. This coronavirus pandemic, it is hitting us hard right now, and we can relate it all back to our falling away from God. And Pastor Winters goes into detail in this interview about repentance, national repentance, as well as personal repentance. And matter of fact, that's where we're going to start this conversation off, as I ask Pastor Winters to explain what it is exactly that America needs to repent for. And you are going to you might not like it, but you're going to find out a lot of information about his answer. So let's jump right back into the interview with Pastor Rob Winters.
Number one, humble ourselves, pray, seek my face. Number four, turn from our wicked ways. He said, then he'll do three things. He'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. Amen. And so I believe that the repentance, we need to repent of four things. Number one, we need to repent of pride. Repentance brings or begins with humility. Humility is the opposite of pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And, you know, we can't even repent on our own. The Bible says, it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy, it says, peradventure, God grant us repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So when we humble ourselves before the Lord, it's the first step, he will grant us repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So I think as a nation, we need to repent of our pride, our narcissism, our vanity. As a nation, we need to repent of that. And when we do, God will grant us the grace of repentance. The second thing is we become a prayerless nation. There was a statistic in my book that ministers, preachers pray less than 5 minutes a day. No wonder we've got problems if our foundation is our ministers aren't praying more than 5 minutes a day, then we know we got a problem. And see, prayer is one of the greatest demonstrations of humility that we'll ever find, because prayer is our acknowledgement that we cannot do it on our own, that we have to rely on God. So when we pray, we're saying, God, we need you. We need you. And, because pride says, I can do all things. But humility says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So our dependence and reliance has to be completely on God. So those are the first two things. The third thing is repent of idolatry. He says, seek his face. In America, we seek everything but the face of God. We become a nation of idolaters. We spend our precious money and time on everything and anything but God. And I believe that, like the children of Israel that began to restore the temple under Zerubbabel, that we've continued to build our own homes instead of building the house of God. Under Zerubbabel, as they returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they stopped. They stopped building to build their own houses. For 14 years, the temple lied dormant. Nobody worked on it until God sent his prophets Haggai and Zechariah to confront them of their sin. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3, the word of the Lord came by Haggai saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? And then he goes on to say, consider your ways. And that's the fourth thing that we're to repent of, is our wicked ways. Is it, humble yourself, pray, seek his face, turn from your wicked ways. And that's exactly what Haggai confronted them with. He said, consider your ways. You sown much, you bring in little. You eat, you don't have enough. You drink, you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. You earn wages to put them in bags with holes in them. He goes on to say, consider your ways. And he said, go ahead and build my temple, that I may take pleasure in it, and that my temple will be glorified. So I believe that God is wanting us to cease building our own kingdom. He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be given unto us. So God's wanting to build a house of praise, a house of his presence. He's wanting to build a house of prayer for the nations, a house of power. And God is wanting to heal our land. We need a healing like we've never needed it before. And I believe that this third great awakening, God's shaking America so that he can awaken America, specifically his church, so that he can bring his healing power, bring a great revival with signs, wonders, and miracles like we've never seen before, and put sickles in the hand of his church so we can begin to reap this harvest.
Amen. You know, I've been saying along with that, that, you know, with this pandemic thing that's been going on right now, you know, throughout the Bible, you have examples of God removing idols that were interfering with worship of him. And in America, he's removed, you know, the sports idols, no sports going on. He's removed the Hollywood idols, no movies being made or anything like that. You know, the movie stars that people worship. He's removed the concert and music idols because you can't do any of that. And he's also removed the idol of money. You know, the jobs are shut down. The economy is shut down. And then on top of that, you have the church idols that have been lifted up. You know, these huge churches that, you know, it's all about the crowd and the feel-good messages and things like that. He's removed those. They're not able to open anymore. I mean, God is removing idols in our day, in our time, for one reason, so that the true worship would come back to him. Amen.
Right.
Can you give us some biblical examples of when genuine repentance took place and spiritual cleansing took place and who this helps as far as God's messengers?
Yeah, I think the classic example would be the prophet Isaiah. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, we saw that Isaiah had come to a place of crisis in his life. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, a lot of people don't realize that King Uzziah was actually a very good friend of Isaiah. And so when he passed away, Isaiah was in a place of grieving, a place of crisis. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So in that place of crisis, Isaiah had an encounter with God. And I believe that's where ministers need to be today. They need to have an encounter with the face of God. And so in that, it goes on to say that Isaiah encountered the glory of the holiness of God. He saw the angels. He saw the seraphim. And it said that the seraphim, verse 3, that they cried out one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And in that place, the posts of the door were shaken, and the house would fill with smoke. So Isaiah had an encounter not only with the face of God, but he had an encounter with the holiness of God. And I believe that's what ministers in the church need to have, an encounter with the holiness of God, because that the beauty of holiness is actually his glory. And so as he had an encounter with the holiness of God, he realized his sin. So when you come in the presence of a holy God, he came to a place of repentance. He had an encounter with the holiness of God, and the spirit of judgment convicted Isaiah of his sin, which brought forth a confession of sin. In verse 5, he says, woe is me, for I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, when we have an encounter with the face of God, the holiness of God, it actually releases the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord is composed of two specific spirits. It talks about in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. So when he saw the face of God, the spirit of judgment brought a conviction of sin, which brought forth a confession of sin. And so he brought him to a place of repentance of sin that allowed the spirit of burning to come. We see in verse 6 that as he was convicted of sin, the spirit of burning cleansed him of his sin. He said that one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. He touched my mouth with the live coal. He said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity has been taken away, and your sin has been purged. And so as he was convicted of the sin, the spirit of God, the spirit of burning, cleansed him, purged him of his sin. That's what we need in the church. Because what happens is repentance is more than a mere confession. It is the cleansing and turning away from sin. And it's the spirit of burning that cleanses you, burns out the sin, but there's no more desire for that sin. And so when he went through that cleansing, he then became a candidate to be commissioned by the Lord. The conviction, the confession, and the cleansing of sin preceded his commission, because once he was cleansed, he began to hear a voice. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I believe that those words are crying out from heaven continually. I believe it is, but we can't hear them until we've been cleansed of our iniquity. And once he was cleansed, he heard that voice. And he said, of course, here am I, send me. And so many people have went and preached without being sent. And I believe that this is a qualifier for the ministers of God, that they have an encounter with the face of God. They are convicted, confess their sins, cleansed of their sins, so that they can be commissioned by the Lord to go forth and preach an uncompromising gospel.
Amen. You know, as you're saying that, it came to my thought that, you know, people, you know, especially when, go back to what you said a few minutes ago, that, you know, on average, an average pastor is only praying like 5 minutes a day. You know, there's so much noise going on in life that it's interfering with our communication and our relationship with God. This pandemic, as you alluded to earlier, that, you know, this didn't come from God. It came from the devil, and God just allowed it to happen. This could be a time where God is taking away the noise. You know, you're shut up inside your house. You can't go out. You can't do anything. Can't go to work. Can't have people come visit. This is a time where people should be drawing close to God, as you just said, in repentance and humbleness and seeking his face and allowing us to hear from God. And for many people, this might be the first time that they've heard from God.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that what you just said is so true. And going along that thought process and what you just said, basically it sounds like you're saying that many ministers of the gospel have disqualified themselves from participating in this great awakening that's about to be unleashed. Is that right?
Well, yeah, that has been. I believe that, you know, for years, God's been dealing with, you know, his messengers, and they, you know, there's a statistic in the church that 68% of Christian men in the church today are bound by pornography. Yeah, and when I heard that statistic, I knew that if that's the case, no wonder the glory of God can't come, because he's not going to come to a sin-filled church. We have to walk in holiness and purity. We actually started, we went through the Conquer series in our men's group at the church. And it's like, hey guys, you know, if you're having problems with this, even if you're not, we need to watch these video series and realize that, you know, these types of sin, and sexual sin has been probably the predominant sin that has contaminated the churches of America. And because of that, there, you can't preach a convicting message of repentance when you're walking in known sin. You just can't.
Exactly.
Because your heart condemns you. And so I feel like that's one of the reasons why. Also, the other reason why is money. I mean, you know, repentance doesn't bring a big offering, but, you know, we have to stay true to the messages that God gives us, be uncompromising in our message. The only way to do that is to stay free from sin and to not be serving mammon. You know, there's so many mammonites in the pulpit today, and you got to realize that if you serve God, he's going to take care of you. So a lot of people has disqualified themselves. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, but I discipline my body and I bring it in subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. That word discipline in the King James Version is buffet. He said, if I buffet my body, and it's interesting, but, you know, American preachers, they don't buffet their body. They buffet their bodies. We cater to our flesh, and we don't discipline ourselves. You know, the core value of becoming a disciple is discipline, and it's devoid in the church for the most part. And so many have disqualified themselves, and, you know, I believe God's given them many, many chances, but I believe that the day is here. It's not coming. It's here that God's going to have to remove those that have not preached what he's told us to preach, those that continue to walk in known sin, And I believe as a result of that, we're going to see a dismantling of some of these mega churches that have been built on false grace. Nothing against these preachers or anything like that. I feel like many have gotten saved through those churches, but I believe God's wanting to make disciples, and you know, the gospel that they've been preaching will not wash, especially after what we've been through. People are going to be like, you know, I can't listen to a false gospel. I want the real thing. And so I believe we're going to see a lot of smaller churches begin to make disciples, and they're going to be rallying points for awakening and revival, that people are going to be drawn, you know, out of the woodwork, not only new Christians, but the, you know, new born again believers. But I believe people are going to be hungry for more of God. They're going to want the real thing. And I also believe that God's prepared certain messengers. They've been in the crucible of affliction in the wilderness for 20, 30, 40 years. They've waited for such a time as this. And I believe that God's bringing them out. He's bringing them out now. People you've never heard of, God's going to be bringing out of the woodwork. Those that God has made promises have to wait, and they've had to, you know, patience working in them and pass the test of betrayal, pass the test of time, so many of the other tests in the wilderness, but God's going to bring them out with might and power. I call it the Elisha Commission. I call it the Elisha Company of Ministers, that they're going to be coming out with a double portion of God's Spirit, double portion of the Elijah Spirit. They're going to have a mantle with a double anointing to preach repentance. They're going to see double the miracles, double the signs, double the wonders. They're going to have a double anointing on them. And God's going to bring an acceleration through their ministry, and because they're dedicated to building disciples, making disciples of all nations.
Let's say the American church in particular, what does it need to repent of the most in your eyes?
Well, I believe, like we had talked about in, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that as a church, we've got to repent of pride, prayerlessness, idolatry, and just our wicked ways. We've just got to, you know, change our focus. We're so, like you said, we're so distracted. Mm-hmm. I believe that God has even orchestrated this time so that we would be quiet. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. And I believe it's in the stillness that, you know, we're people of activity. You know, he's called us to be human beings, not human doings. And all we want to do is do. And for God, when we need to be still before him, he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And it's in that place of quietness that God begins to speak. It's in that quietness. Even in our services, they're so programmed that we never wait on the Lord. And if we would just wait upon him, I believe that his spirit will begin to move so powerfully. Because one moment in the presence of God can change everything.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and I believe that's where we are. People are coming to a place of desperation. You know, when things are status quo, which they have been for years, people don't really care about the glory. As long as their bank account is full, they've got a full-time job, they're fine with the status quo. And the word status quo in the Greek literally means the mess we're in. That's really where we are. We're in a mess, and God wants to bring us out of this mess. And it's, you know, really, the darkness that brings forth the light, you know, the glory shines brightest in darkness. And I think that's one of the things that we got to recognize, is that for the glory of God to shine the brightest, darkness has to come. And Isaiah chapter 60 actually mirrors that. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." It's actually in an atmosphere of darkness covering the earth that the glory shall rise. And so instead of being shaken, the church, the remnant church shouldn't be shaken, but what's happening, we shouldn't run and hide. We should arise and shine during this time. This is our hour to shine, remnant church. And so darkness is a requirement. We're seeing that actually darkness is equated with pestilence. If you look in Psalm 91, it talks about the pestilence that walks in darkness. And the darkness is that pestilence has come, but now is the time for the church to arise. And when because the glory will be seen in the midst of the darkness. It says that the Gentiles, the sinners, will come to your brightness and kings to the brightness of your rising. That means the leaders. Leaders will be crying out for answers in the church. My question to the church is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to shine? Are you ready with answers? Are you ready to demonstrate the kingdom of God, not to just have revival, but to have answers to bring reformation to culture? You know, we have to be thinking that way.
Amen.
In fact, there was a study done that a match in gross darkness can be seen from five miles away.
Oh, absolutely.
If a match is lit in gross darkness, it can be seen from 5 miles away. And so that's where the church is. So, you know, I you probably heard of a couple of the prophecies that have been given that have been fulfilled regarding the Third Great Awakening. One of them being from Bob Jones, who died in 2014. 10 separate times he had prophesied that when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that will be the sign of the Third Great Awakening, and that God's apostolic chiefs would lead that. Well, that happened in February. They won the Super Bowl, and everybody's, praise God, we're going into revival. And all of a sudden, wham, we get hit by COVID-13, and it knocks a lot of the saints back. But it's like, hey, recognize the fact, guys, that darkness must cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Then the glory of the Lord would rise upon the church. So like I said, it's not time to run and hide. It's time to arise and shine. I did want to bring forth one prophetic word by David Wilkerson that a lot of people don't realize he had given in 1986. This is so prophetic. I found this a couple weeks ago. It's in my book. That in 1986, David Wilkerson prophesied this: "I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars, churches, and government will shut down. The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world." If that isn't a prophecy, I don't know what is. Because, I mean, New York City's been hit worse than any other city in America. But he's saying that repentance will come out of this, and a third great awakening will begin to sweep. I don't know about you, but I am so excited about what's coming on the earth, because it's time to shine, remnant church. Yep. It is time to arise and shine. Let the glory of God rise upon you. Let God use you as his mouthpiece. Let him use you as an instrument of righteousness, of healing, and of salvation to the nations.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I had that down to ask you about, if you'd heard about the prophecy from David Wilkerson. I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, not just New York City, just wasn't the worst hit in this nation. New York City has more fatalities and cases and all that than any place in the world. I mean,
well, yeah, you know, I actually put that in my book, page 58 and 59 of my new book, Prepare America. I actually put some statistics in there that New York's, the state of New York, only has 6% of the entire population of America, of the United States of America, 6%, but it has 36% of all the COVID cases and deaths. So that's six times, you know, and so, you know, people are asking why New York, why New York City? And I got an answer for this. because the Lord spoke to me this 2 weeks ago. He said, what happened 1 year ago in the state of New York? 1 year ago in January of 2019, they passed a law, the first state to pass a law legalize full-term abortions.
Mm.
And they celebrated that in New York, the state of New York, a year ago. And we had a time of repentance. The month later, there were churches, you know, repenting for that. But the Lord says that New York has a standing judgment in the courts of heaven against it that has drawn the judgment of God. It's not God doing it. Amen. It's because they've operated in this sin, this heinous sin of abortion, and taken it to the next level and led the nation in, promulgating, full-term abortions, that there's a judgment in heaven against them that brought greater judgment against the state of New York because of it.
Wow.
And which is really a shame. But I believe that New York has a special place in this awakening and revival. The second great awakening basically happened in New York under Charles Finney in Rochester, New York, and throughout New York. So they have a history of revival and awakening there. And so I just believe that it's a fight of light and darkness in the state of New York, because God wants to use New York, state of New York, as a bastion of revival and awakening. I believe that there's going to be a turnaround. I believe there's going to be awakening in New York City. Amen. And so
praise God. Amen. Pastor, all this has been fascinating. And as we get ready to close, how can someone get in touch with you? If someone wanted to ask a question or ask you to come speak, or how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way is through our website. It's preparethewayint.com, preparethewayinternational.com. So it's preparethewayint.com. If you go to our website, they can reach out to me via email. My email address is info@preparethewayint.com. And so they can reach out to me, either through email or through our website. There's a contact information there as well.
Amen. And your book's available on Amazon and through your website?
Book's available through our website and also through Amazon as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll put links to all that down below. Folks, we are living in the last minutes of the last days of the last times before really all hell breaks loose on this earth. And I'm telling you right now, I'm sure Pastor will agree with me, that compared to what we're going through right now, you don't want to be around here for the 7 years of tribulation. That's going to be like what we're going through right now is like a practice afternoon. I mean, it's going to be literal hell on earth. The good news is Jesus is returning soon. Praise God. Amen. If you ever needed to read a book about what is so applicable to the day and time we are living in right now, it's this one by Pastor Rob Winters, Prepare America, Hope for a Nation in Crisis. Go down into the show notes, click the link, get yourself a copy of this book. Matter of fact, order one for yourself and one or two for others, like your pastor. He might need to hear this. Amen. And they need to hear this word as well. Oh, Pastor Rob, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join with us today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. God bless your ministry as well.
Amen. Folks, go down in the show notes, order this book right now while you're thinking about it, because you know as well as I do that if you wait, the devil's going to try and distract you and you're going to forget about it and it'll never happen. Do it right now. Just click the link and order this book right now. And reach out to Pastor Rob Winters and tell him how much you appreciated this interview and what he's doing for the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. And ask him a question. Get in touch with him. Once this thing is over with in a few weeks, invite him out to speak. Glory to God. You need to get this information in front of your people. Pastor, again, thank you for coming on the program. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Pastor Winters, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.